We need to know that we don't need to judge our walk and service and the calling of our Lord by what happens with this flesh. There are those that think, and I've even been there myself in the past, but have some, I trust, better understanding of that, of the situation now. And, you know, we say, well, just because everything's easy and smooth, it must be the Lord's will. Well, that's not so. Sometime, my pastor said it years ago, sometimes Satan blesses people. You need to think about that. Sometimes Satan blesses people. He said that relative to some crooks and some money that they lost and they got it back. That can happen. So just because things are going smooth doesn't necessarily mean it's the will of the Lord. The Lord does bless with things, but it's not always an indicator that everything's great. Just because things are hard on the flesh doesn't mean that it's wrong. Okay, or not the will of the Lord or what's going on. So we have to, in maturity, we have to grow up and understand that relative to the flesh or signs doesn't dictate whether a thing is of the will of the Lord or the blessing of the Lord or not. Things go both ways. And we looked at signs in the Old Testament and how as the Lord did use some signs, but as his word was written and delivered unto us, there's less and less of that. What Jesus mentioned, as I've said earlier, about an adulterous generation seeking after a sign, and that the scripture tells us, as the apostle Paul writes, signs have ceased. Okay? Now there are prophecies. And there will be things that the Lord will do that will, fulfilling of prophecies that will be a testimony to him being at hand and doing the things that he does. But signs have ceased because we have the wonderful, great word of our Lord. And so, I mentioned here recently, don't be superstitious. Okay, don't be superstitious about things. We should not, and we need to guard against that. Old wives' fables, as the scripture talks about, and superstition about different things, and the black cats, and breaking of mirrors, and different things, other things. You'd be surprised what some people are superstitious about. We don't need to be superstitious, but we need to hear the word of our Lord. The word from our Lord and the word written by our Lord. So we don't live by signs. We live by our Lord's word. So then, touching that subject, touching upon our consideration this morning, we find in Ephesians 5, verse number 17. And just because this is the text of this message is coming out of an epistle written to one of the Lord's churches doesn't mean that the message is not for everybody. This message this morning is indeed for everybody, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Don't be unwise. And this text is specifically speaking to saints in the Lord's churches, children of God. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? This is speaking to you. A member of the Lord's churches is speaking to you. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The message title this morning, what is the will of our Lord in our lives? What is the will of our Lord in our lives? Well, first consideration of this, let's just talk about the whole wad of people, okay? The general, what is the general will of our Lord for mankind? Is that a mystery? Is it unknown? Okay, this thing about the will, I've mentioned this in times past. While I was growing up, at different times there was debate about being able to know the will of the Lord. And there was, at least from my receiving of it, there was mystery about that. It was almost at times mystic that, you know, maybe you'll find the will of the Lord, but you might trip and stumble into it or something. But what is the general will of our Lord for mankind? Well, you know what? We can go straight to the scripture. We've got the answer. Psalm 24. Take a look at here. Psalm 24. What is the general will of God for mankind? Psalm 24, verse number 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Well, let's first understand that all of us and all of everything belongs to God. You're not, even though you and I may behave like freelancers, we are not. All of us, yes, that means you, belong to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. This house, these benches, this carpet, the trees, that creek, the road, all of it is the Lord's. All of it. All of us are the Lord's. And men don't like to think of it that way and be told that, but that's the truth. So we need to understand this as we consider about the general will of our Lord for mankind. Turn over a few pages, Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse number 8. What's the general will of the Lord for mankind? Verse number 8 of Psalm 33, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. There you go. Fear him. We've talked about that thing of fear. We need to fear the Lord. There needs to be some understanding that the Lord can bring terror upon you. You die and you go out of this world without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you will enter into an eternal terror. And the fierceness and majesty and power of Almighty God at the judgment. You know what? The Lord needs to be reverenced too. He speaks, you and I need to listen. Oh, I'm not saved, Brother Jim. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're a people. You've been given a soul by the Lord. You belong to him. You've been created by him. You need to stand in awe of God. What is it when we stand in awe of something? You know, we see it and like we cannot believe it's as good or as big or as great or as powerful as it is. Maybe you go to a big city, a big, big city. First time you ever see a skyscraper. And you stand in awe. How can that thing stand there? How'd they get it built? How do people go up in there and work and not lose their minds? Okay, to give an example of standing in awe. You see a tornado on the ground, you'll be in awe. You won't be able to, oh, looky there, look at that tornado. You know, it won't be like that. You'll be in awe. You know what? We need to be in awe of our Lord. We need to fear him. That's what all mankind needs to do. Psalm 49. What's the general will of our Lord for us? You know, he declares it to us. He says, let all fear the Lord and let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 49, verse number 1. Hear this, all people. Who's that? That's you. Hear this, all people. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world. You know what? The Lord... His general will for mankind is that he be heard. He has spoken. And you know what he expects you to do? Each and every one of us? He expects you to hear him. Not most of what he says, not a little bit of what he says, but he expects you to hear all that he has said. He says, hear, hear, give ear. That means get your ear over there bent towards the Lord, ye inhabitants of the world. We come over here to the New Testament in the Gospels in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. What is the general will of God for mankind? In Mark chapter 12, verse number 28. Mark 12, verse number 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, the others and Jesus, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus, what's the first commandment of all? You know, Jesus had given a very good answer to the previous question, the previous inquiry. What's the greatest commandment of all? We just read in Psalm that the people of the world, of the earth, all people need to give an ear to the Lord. Jesus answered him, verse 29, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's what you need to hear. Now, I'm not talking about just knowing it historically, But I'm talking about you need to hear and believe and understand that's the case personally. He is your God. You know what? You are not your God. I am not my God. But God Almighty, Jehovah God, is our God. And he says, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The Word of God says that all should hear the Lord and what he has to say, to stand in awe of him, which we all are to do, and to hear and to give ear to his commandment unto all mankind. And the Lord Jesus says you need to love him with everything you've got, every whit, not 98%, but with everything. You and I are to love our Lord with heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first commandment. And he goes on to say, and the second is like, namely this, God says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Not be a hater, but to love neighbor as self. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Verse number 32, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. That supersedes all the ceremonial sacrificial law. And it's true. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. What's the general will of mankind? Well, the love of our Lord for mankind is to love the Lord in every way. You know what? These two commandments are summary to what the Lord gave Israel in the moral law in Exodus chapter 20. Let's quickly take a look over here. We'll not read the entire passage, but if you've got a Bible and you can read, I want you to turn over here and read this for yourself. This is what the Lord has commanded to you. To you. Listen, if you come to services, and you got a Bible and you can read, God's blessed you with the ability to read. Don't waste the time by not reading the Word of God for yourself. All right, don't waste the time. Don't waste the time, but read it for yourself. Hear what the Lord is saying to you. Look here in Exodus chapter 20. The man asked the Lord, what's the greatest commandment? He gave him two. Love God with everything. Love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what do we see here? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's loving God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, verse number 4, any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or the earth beneath. That's loving God, isn't it? Thou shalt not bow down to them, verse number 5. God is a jealous God. We're to stand in awe of him and not to give his honor, glory, and praise to another. All right? He is a merciful God. Praise the Lord. He is a God that carries out justice and judgment, but he is a merciful God too. What's it say there in verse 6? To them that love him. To them that love him. Verse number 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's loving God, isn't it? Verse number 4. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, a day of worship, a day given by God for man to rest and to go for, change the regular routine of life. Verse number 8 of Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Who commanded it? Was it our idea? No, it was the Lord's idea. It was the Lord's command for us. It's a benefit to us, and it's a day set aside for worship unto him. That's talking about loving God, isn't it? And then we come on down here to verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. You know, that's loving one another, isn't it? That relationship in the family. Thou shalt not murder, shalt not kill, verse number 13. Well, that's talking about love one toward our neighbor, isn't it? And in verse number 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's talking about loving our spouse the way that the God has ordered and ordained for us to love our spouse. Listen, and don't be involved, you young people, don't be involved with fornication before you're married. Because you're not loving your spouse, you should be saving yourselves for your spouse. That's what God's ordained. Okay, and that speaks of a whole, each of these are speak to a whole litany of errors and sins and transgressions that fall under these main points. Don't steal. Who do you steal from? When we steal, who do we steal from? Somebody. I didn't know anybody, you ever heard this before? I didn't know anybody owned this land out here, somebody trespassing and hunting on a piece of land. Somebody owned this land? I know some folks that have been told that. Well, I didn't know anybody owned this land. Yeah, somebody owns everything. Someone owns. Don't steal. That's talking about loving our neighbor, isn't it? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't lie. Especially. Don't lie ever, but especially don't be lying on somebody. Don't be lying on somebody. I think this is speaking what the Lord is the height of this, the pinnacle of this lying is to lie against someone and bearing false witness like they did our Lord to take and put them to death. It takes a couple witnesses to put somebody to death in the scriptures. That's what they did to our Lord. They tried. Their witnesses didn't agree. But he said, don't lie. Don't lie. Don't lie against your neighbor. And then don't covet. Whose stuff do we covet? Well, we're back to the stuff. And we're back to principle. We're back to understanding about things. All the commandments speak about wanting something else. Covetousness is at the root of them all. I don't want God as my God. I want to do my own thing on the Lord's day. I want to have somebody else's tie. I'm always after Brother Nicky's shirt. Right? Don't covet, because when we covet, we sin against God and we're not loving our neighbor. What's the general will of God for mankind? Well, to love Him and to love our neighbor as ourselves. In Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, and He spake a parable unto them unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Spoke about that here in recent times, in the last year or so or two. Prayer is to be directed towards God Almighty. God's the only one that can do anything really for you and me in our lives. We ought to always be praying and looking to Him. You know, when we pray unto our Lord for our need, we pray to our Lord in thanksgiving. We pray to our Lord for the need of others in supplication. You know what? Not only are we petitioning the one that can do something about it, but you know what? He is worshiped and praised in that. See, all those inhabitants of the land that Brother Stephen mentioned about in the scriptures mentioned about this morning, those other gods, when the people would beseech them to work in their lives, or when the people would thank them for the blessings that they had or provision in their lives, you know what? God's honor and God, the love towards God's being short-circuited, because that doesn't belong to false gods in the imagination of men. It belongs to God Almighty. We ought to be praying unto Him. We ought to be going unto Him. Psalms 86, 9. Take a look over here. Psalm 86, 9. Psalm 86, verse number 9. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. What's the general will of God for mankind? That He be number one. That He be number one in everything, and that we honor and glorify and worship Him in all. So, what is the will of our Lord for our lives? Well, we see generally here what it is for all of mankind. But what's the general will of our Lord for His children, those who are saved? What's the general will of our Lord for His children? And we consider this individually as a child of God. We consider this, I think it does us well to consider it in regards to our families. We who are saved, and we have families. You have a wife, you have a spouse, You live with your parents. You have a family, the family unit that's there. What's the general will of our Lord for His children individually and in our homes and our families? In Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, let us understand this. The Lord says to His nation, and this is a general precept for the people of God, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." They didn't know, and it was causing their destruction. "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Hear that verse. It doesn't just affect the person, but it affects their nearest kin, their own children, that which has come from them. The Lord says you're destroyed because you don't know. We don't know what? We don't know about Him. We don't know what about what He's commanded. You know, the general will of our Lord for mankind, as we in the first section there, if people would know that and would pursue that, it would be a help and a blessing unto them. The scripture states plainly, "Seek the Lord while He may be found." And if sinners would do so, it would be a blessing. And I understand about the work of the Lord, but the Lord sent His word. He's worked. He's given. How many Bibles? Anybody that wants a Bible, we'll give them a Bible, won't we? Well, no charge. We got Bibles electronically and got stacks of Bibles. We go to the jail, there's stacks of Bibles. Some of them are good. Some of them are Bibles, so-called. Yeah, but, I mean, the Word of God is at hand. And you know what? We of His people, you know why we of His people, as His children, that's what we're speaking about in this point. You know what? When we bring harm to ourselves, we bring damage to ourselves and to our children, is we don't know what our Lord has said. Young people, I understand how we can be lured into doing this. We can say, "Well, you know, I've got the latter years of my life to serve the Lord." I tell you what, you better serve your Lord now, because you do not have a guarantee of tomorrow. We're going to speak about that here later on, more about that. But what's the general will of our Lord for His children, those who are saved? Well, don't go the way of lack of knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 3, take a look over here. What is the general will of our Lord? And we're just talking generally that we get from His word. Okay? This applies to everybody. 2 Peter chapter 3, what is the general will? Okay, this is universal to all the people of God that are saved. What is His will? Well, don't not know about Him. And don't not know about what He says. I know that's bad English, but we want to reinforce the point. Look here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. What's the will of our Lord for His children, individually, in their families? But grow, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow. What's the will of the Lord for His people is that we might grow. I enjoy the lessons that our Lord blesses our brethren with in the adult Sunday school class. It's good. It's good to see the Lord work that way. Different facets, different aspects of the Bible and of life and character studies and principles and going through the scripture and seeing the different things that the Lord has for us. You know, all that helps us learn. That all helps us learn about our Lord. And when we know more about our Lord, we will be more prepared to weather the storms and the temptation and the trials of life. But I tell you what, if you don't know about your Lord, all you know about is the thing that comes upon you and what you have within yourself, what this old world feeds us, and you know what you're going to do? You and I are going to do something stupid because we don't know what God has said. It's just the way that it is. We will do stupid things and behave in a stupid fashion if we don't know what our Lord says. And I tell you what, it's a lifetime endeavor. It won't happen in 2 weeks or a month. It won't happen by just reading the Bible once. It won't happen just by coming to services every now and then. But you and I have got to become Bible students, feeding on that word, asking our Lord to help us and bless us with it, and line upon line, precept upon precept. Listen to what he says. Here a little, there a little, but you know what? A little always coming our way. That was a thing that I had in the time that I've been saved, and early on, I thought I had to get it all at once. You know, and the thing is the Word of God being a living book, you can read one passage today, one chapter today, one thing pertinent to something that you're dealing with today. And you know, in a year or 5 years later, that whole passage and the Word of the Lord and the power of the Lord can speak to another thing that you'll find yourself in the midst of later on, because it's a living book. It's not like the manuals of this world. It's not like the instruction books of this world. His Word is not. And we need to grow in it. Grow in the grace. What do you think our Lord's pleased with? Is our Lord pleased with you and me knowing more about Him or less about Him? He is pleased. We're talking about children of God. We're saved. Jesus has saved us. Do you want the Lord smiling at you, or do you want the Lord frowning at you, child of God? Amen. That's the shape. We got Joseph and Matthew and James here. We got Aaron and Megan and Katie, as they're there in their homes and under their parents and those that are over them. They're there. They're always loved and cared for by their parents. Sometimes their parents frown upon them. They're not kicking them out. Right? No. Sometimes their parents smile upon them. What do you and I want between us and our Lord? Does our Lord favor the obedient child? Does he help the obedient child, the one that's walking in fellowship with the Lord, looking to learn more about the Lord? Or does he chastise the disobedient child? He always loves. But how is it in the relationship? How is it that it's going on? We're called to grow in the favor and knowledge of our Lord. His blessings are His, and He gives them. He tells us He's got more than we could ever receive. The Lord is pleased with obedient children. He's pleased with knowledgeable children. Not knowledge that puffs up and makes us think that we're over sinners and over our brothers and sisters in Christ, but knowledge that causes us to rejoice in our Lord, and knowledge that causes us to help others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, or those that are without Christ, that they might hear the truth about our good Lord that has been merciful and gracious to us. Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now, both now and forever. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 4, take a look over here, and we're connected to this, is this. You and I learn, not being deficient in knowledge about the way of the operation of the Lord and the call of the Lord and what the Lord's told us. Look here in Hebrews chapter 4, as it speaks to us about the Word of God and the high priest that we have in Christ. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of favor. As children, you and I belong. We're not aliens to the throne of the Lord. We're called. We've been saved. And let us, not haughty in and of ourselves, but let us go up there just like Joseph would always, for something that he would need, he would always be willing to go to his daddy for what he needs, for help that he needs. He takes it for granted that daddy is there to help him. Isn't that the way it works? It's just a foregone conclusion that dad will help him with what he needs. That's the way it needs to be with you and me. Let us come boldly. We belong there. We're saved. We do serve our Lord, but we're children, joint heirs with Christ. Let us come boldly. Let us therefore, because of these things said earlier, come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace, favor to help in time of need. You and I have a need? Have we got needs? We got needs piled up all around us, don't we? And our Lord says, come to me. Come to me. Don't take this thing and try to bear it up yourself. And I understand there is the physical living and the physical doing. But you know what? It's amazing what our Lord will do for us when we are weary and past strength and unable in our flesh to be able to do. We take a thing to our Lord and somehow he helps us. He helps us. We have faith in him that he will do so. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1, the scripture says here at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. What is the general will of our Lord for his children? Take a look at Matthew chapter 7, here towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, our Lord Jesus says this in verse number 12, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be helped? How do you want to be blessed? Do that to others. How do you want to be helped? How do you and I want to be helped? How do you and I want to be encouraged? Do that to others. Do that to others. And thinking about this, and this is the disciples are there, and the Lord says this unto them, and I know there's more that's there, but we're talking about disciples now. Do you want to be helped when you're down and out? Help those when they're down and out. You've been given, you've been brought, you and I have been, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been brought to us, and we've been saved, and I know that that can't happen again, but are you thankful that it has been? Tell those who don't have it. Tell those who don't have it. You know what, in consideration of this point, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. He said, this is a wrapping up of the law and the prophets. Think about this. This is what our Lord has done for mankind. Our Lord, and understand this, our Lord desires to be loved by his creation. Now, God's not trying to do anything, okay? And you know what he's been doing for us? He's been loving us. We deserve to be obliterated. And the attributes our brother taught about here sometime in his lessons, Jesus, God Almighty, has been doing this since we were created. Think about that. See, the Lord isn't telling us to do something he's not done. But he's telling us to do that which he has already done. Remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. What's the general will of the Lord for his people? To love the Lord and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But back in Matthew chapter 5, we take a look here in verse number 43. Verse number 43 of Matthew 5. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. They added, that last part, I think. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them which hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. If we do in our lifetimes come into a time of persecution, may our Lord help us to remember these verses. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, that it would be manifested that you are behaving like your Lord has behaved. Remember, before we were saved, we were aliens against God, were we not? We hated and despised God and His way. And enmity, it's a nice word for saying hate. But we were at enmity with God. We hated God. And yet, He sent His Son to die for us. He says, pray. Bless those that curse. Do good to those that hate. Pray for them which use and persecute, that it may be, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, that it would be manifested who you belong to. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. See, our Lord's been doing this forever, or since the beginning of time. And may our Lord help us to be like Him. Then we come here, we've spoken generally about the general will for our Lord and mankind, the general will of our Lord for His children. And then we just want to mention here about the specific will of our Lord for His children. So we have these things in the scriptures that contain about the will of God that applies to all of us. But how is it that we can know what the Lord wants us to do? You know, where you live, in your town, in your life, with your children, with your job, with the provision He's given you, and in the church that He's put you in, or a church, the necessity to move. Sometimes we have to move. Well, how do we find out specifically what the will of the Lord is? And granted, this is the one that's the most difficult, seemingly, or we look on it in a sense and say, you know, I want to know what does the Lord want me to do? The specific will of our Lord for His children, individually, as a family, and now we bring into this as a church. As a church. Well, we saw our Lord saying in there at the beginning of the Sermon on Mount, Sermon on the Mount at Matthew chapter 1, His disciples came to Him. And in Matthew chapter 7 again, we come over here in verse number 7 and listen to what our Lord says. How do you know the specific will of our Lord for you? You, your family, and your church. In Matthew 7:7, the scripture of the Lord says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. How do we find out the specific will of our Lord for our individual lives? Our home, our families, and for our church. Our Lord Jesus says, we need to be talking to Him about it. We need to be asking Him about it. See, we have the preface of growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. You know, we need to be filling up on His Word and what His Word says. Because it's by the Word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not only into salvation, but other things in life. You know, I was brought to a point where the Lord used His Word upon me to convict me about preaching His good Word. It was by His Word that He did that. And the Spirit of God bringing conviction that, you know, that everything else faded away and the Lord dealing with me was what was at hand. And He did that through His Word. He did that through, as He through His Word convicted me and pressed upon me for what He wanted me to do and that and myself, me talking to Him about it. like I would talk to you about a subject, about something, a discussion. Do you talk to the Lord that way? The Lord says, ask. The Lord says, seek. We gave the example of Joseph going to Stephen. It's just that way with us and the Lord. How is it so that so many children of God don't even embark upon that part, that facet of the relationship? That God, their Lord, and we're subject to it. And when we're first saved, you know, we just don't know, and we're ignorant, and we've got to learn. But you know that. But this mentality that God's just a big Santa Claus, and we just go to the Lord for bailout when things are really, really tight, and that's it. And there's nothing else. The Lord Jesus says, ask. Ask about what? Ask about all of your life. Seek. Seek about what? Everything. Knock. Knock about what? Knock about everything. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? About this and about this and about this and about this. Lord, help me to understand your leadership. Your spirit is living within. Help me to be sensitive to what the Spirit wants, what you want. Help me to hear your still small voice. In James chapter 4, Brother James expounds upon this. And we see this in James chapter 4. Verse number 1, speaking to the people of God, again, not a general epistle, but an epistle to the children of God in his churches, all right? James is a church man just as much as any of our other brethren in the Scripture. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Fightings within yourself, fightings in your family, fightings in your church. Where do those struggles, those wars come from? Those uprisings, where do they come from? From whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence? Don't they come from here? Even of your own desires, lusts that war in your members, don't they come from the flesh? We took a look about the old man and the new man recently. Ye lust, you desire and have not. This isn't talking only. You see that word lust, not talking about that which is sensual in the sense of intimate relationships between people. It's talking about what your body wants. You know, you can lust after a blueberry donut. You want one, okay? But lust brings the connotation that it's not right, it's not good. He said, where do these fightings, these struggles come? Don't they come from within you, your old man? You want and you don't have it, so you pitch a fit. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. It's like I want, and then I get, and then it's not really as good as I thought it would be. Pitching a fit is kind of shown there. I want, but then we've been so sour in pursuing it that it would just spoil the whole thing. Or killing an animal for provision, desire to have, and you want, and can't get it. You fight and war, yet you have not. Why? Because you're trying it all by yourself. Ask. Ask. Lord Jesus' example, give us this day our daily bread. As an example, we in our society, give us this day our daily ride. I mean, we need transportation, don't we? And give us this day our work, our provision. Give us this day the sense that I need to be able to do my work and do well for my Lord and my employer. Amen? Give me this day your understanding to be a good husband or wife to your spouse and father to children, pastor to the church that the Lord's given him to pastor. See, we try to do it on our own. We just have nothing but a mess. You lust, you have not. You kill and desire to have, cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. So watch the asking. Lord, what do you want? Lord, we've got this we're dealing with. We need your help to understand what it is that we should do. Lord, this is impossible. Lord, this is at hand. What should we do about this? What should we do about that? Lord, we've got this decision to make about something. Father, how would you be honored and glorified in it? You know what? If you and I filled up on the Word of God, the Lord will take the Scriptures that's within us and bring them to heart and mind that we might have clarity about what to do in particular in our lives. Hear that? But you know what? If the library is empty, all we have is what we think might be right or what we see somebody else do. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Okay, so if it's just what Jim wants for the sake of Jim's enjoyment, then maybe I just don't need to go there. Verse number 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, why does he use that wording? Because just like our brother has pointed out about the children of Israel, about Judah, about the northern tribes, they sought after another way other than the way of their God. The way of our God is that we be in fellowship with Him, we walk with Him, we talk with Him, we ask Him, we petition Him with Him, we supplicate unto Him for others. That is the way of our Lord. But if we go another way, we won't know the will of the Lord for our lives. You know what? Not knowing the will of the Lord for our lives in particular can lead us down some very damaging roads. You've been an adulterer and adulteress towards me. That's what he's saying. Know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? You take up the philosophy and the way of the world, that's hatred against the Lord. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, everybody's doing it, Brother Jim. That means it's wrong. If the world is taking it up, that means it's wrong. But they do this and they watch that and they listen to this and they do this and they dress this way and they buy the... Listen, if it's the way of the world, watch out. What's the specific will for our Lord, for His children individually, in the family, and in the church? Was talking to our Lord, asking and seeking and knocking. And not just for the sake of our flesh and to consume it upon our fleshly desires and our own fun, but for the honor and service and work of the Lord. You know, our Lord gives us enjoyment and provision. But you know what? We can take that thing so far that we go so far that we cross over a line. One thing that we would do, a thing that we would do would be just fine. But then we take that for the sake of just God have it and got to do it. And we put that before our worship and service of our Lord and it becomes sin. See, there's nothing wrong with it. It's where we put it. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Do you and I believe what the Lord has told us? That there is a general will for mankind, that there is a general will for His children, and that we can know the specific will of our Lord for our lives? I think it's just kind of like a guessing game. Have faith in your Lord. You can specifically know what your Lord wants you to do. But you know what? You're going to have to go to Him for it. Your pastor can't tell you. Well, you know what the pastor does? He tells generally. Well, because he tells out of the Word of God. But it'll take you to go to your Lord, talking to Him, learning about Him, filling up on His Word so that you might know specifically, you and I. I'm not leaving myself out of this. That you and I might know His particular will. for us. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, because you know what? To please our Lord, we got to be found resting in him, relying upon him, looking to him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, listen, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, child of God, are you seeking your Lord? Oh, Brother Jim, I'm saved. I've already found him. He's found me. I'm saved. That's done. It's not done. A life that begins by seeking the Lord, you know, in the context of that scripture, and finding him in salvation in Christ, is the beginning of a life of continuing to seek the Lord. When we get backslidden, do we sense the presence of the Lord? The coolness of the Spirit, the quenching, the frustrating of the Spirit, if you will, the more sensitive to the voices in the world and less sensitive to the Word of our God. When we're backslidden, it can get that way. We don't have faith in the Lord and what He said. We've gone our own way. We've slid backwards. But tell you what, we're learning about our Lord. We're asking our Lord what He wants us to learn about our Lord. We're asking Him to open up the Scriptures for us as we hear them, listen to them, read them. And we become involved in the services and in the messages and in the teaching. We listen intently like the greatest class that we ever took on this earth. We listen to hear what our Lord has to say to us. And we talk to our Lord about our life. Do we have faith that that'll really work? Or is that just pie in the sky? I tell you what, you have faith. We have faith in what our Lord has given us in His Word. We can indeed know His specific will for us individually, in a family, as a family and as a church. Ephesians 5. Now let's read this verse one more time and we'll close. Wherefore be ye not unwise. It's packing a punch now, isn't it? Considering these other things relative to it. Be therefore not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is for you. Don't be found without wisdom. Don't be found without knowledge. Be and seek the face of the Lord for understanding about what your Lord wants for you. For you. And for me.